corner. Let's pause for a second and stand. We're going to sing His Word forever. Start tonight in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, and we pray that your spirit would teach us and instruct us in this truth, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk righteously before you and before others. We thank you for your word and for your Son and for your Holy Spirit, and we pray your spirit would teach us more of your Son this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, quiz four. Does anybody need more time? If I gave you more time, would you get more correct answers? Very hard quiz. Yes. They're getting harder. Oops. What are the two main divisions of Genesis, and what are the chapters covered in each division? The first division is four major events, chapters 1 through 11, and the second major division is four major people in chapters 12 through 20. Next question, what are the three aspects of personality as defined by theologians? Jonathan.
Will, intellect, and emotion.
Intellect, emotion, and will, correct. What are the three ways angels and men are similar?
Created by God and personality, and they're both capable of worshiping God.
created, they have personality, and they can worship God. Good. Two ways men and angels are different.
Man was made in God's image for the purpose of
rule. Okay, men were created to rule, and angels were created to serve. And then?
And angels cannot be saved.
Angels cannot be saved. That's a good one. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to save the sons of Abraham, not angels. Also, their nature, though both are spiritual, men have a physical nature, and though angels can take upon themselves a physical part, for the most part, they are angelic spiritual creatures. Okay, number five. What are the four main events of Genesis 1 through 11? Emily.
Creation,
the fall and the curse, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, or Babel. And the four major people in Genesis 12 through 50? Jonathan.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Israel, and Joseph.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Israel, and Joseph. Number seven, what is meant by man created in God's image? Emily, he's created to rule. And so what idea or concept is associated with the expression the Son of Man? Jonathan?
Authority.
We kept saying that the Son of Man has authority. And in particular, who is the Son of Man? Jesus is the Son of Man. Although in the book of Ezekiel, and this was asked of me at the end of last class, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is called the Son of Man repeatedly. So it's not a term exclusively for Jesus Christ, but when it uses it in Daniel, and when Jesus obviously uses it of himself, it's talking about Jesus. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Son of Man? Putting the two together, it means what? Jesus has the authority. He has the authority over what? Give three examples of support why the Son of Man means that. Means Jesus has authority over what?
Over everlasting dominion.
Everlasting dominion, a kingdom. What else? He has authority over angels. What else? I put he has authority over demons. He cast them out. What else does he have authority over? He has authority over man. He is the Son of Man. Something we mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago. He has authority to forgive sins, remember? It says, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. Which is easier, telling the man to get up and walk or telling him his sins are forgiven? Telling him his sins are forgiven are easy because you don't have to prove that. Telling him to walk is pretty hard because now you're going to have to prove it. But to show that he has authority over both, he made the man get up and walk. And then he was also had authority over what? Does anybody remember?
Nature.
He does have authority over nature as well. Yeah, he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He rules the Sabbath. The Sabbath does not rule him. Okay, brain burners. Let me give you a few more minutes to burn your brain. Okay, are your brains burned enough? All right. Brain burner number five. Okay, how does one show his faith in God? Nathan.
His works.
His works. Through his obedience, right? How else can man show his faith in God? No other answers? He can believe the promises of God. He can stake his life on what God has said is true. Have you ever seen Jesus? No. Do you trust him? Is that not one of the most foolish things you could think of? But you believe the promises of God. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. That's how a man expresses his faith. And through obedience, his works. How was this demonstrated by Adam and Abel? Anybody know how it was demonstrated by Adam? Okay, we'll get there. How about Abel? Because he offered the sacrifice that God accepted. Okay, I don't think I have that on the overhead. Number two, what is the sacrifice that God desires? Nathan.
A perfect sacrifice.
Yes, he would not want something lame or mutilated or diseased. But what is the sacrifice that he desires more than an animal sacrifice?
Samuel says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
A contrite heart.
The sacrifice, Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Obedience. That's the sacrifice God wants. How did Abel demonstrate this? Well, did Abel demonstrate this? Did Abel offer a sacrifice that God accepted? Yeah, so he offered the right sacrifice. How did he demonstrate that he offered a broken and contrite heart sacrifice? He gave the best of his flock. He did what God asked. He offered a sacrifice of faith. Can you have faith without revealed truth? No. So if Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 says Abel offered his sacrifice in faith, if Abel had faith, did there have to be revealed truth? Yes. Did God have to tell him what to offer? Yes. Did he offer what God wanted him to offer? Yes, he did. So I don't think these two individuals came up with their own idea of what to do. Hey, why don't we offer a sacrifice to God? I believe God gave them revealed truth, and Abel offered a sacrifice from a broken and contrite heart, giving the best of his flock in obedience to God. How did Cain fail to demonstrate this? Nathan? He apparently did not give what God asked. What did he give? Yes. He gave of his produce. Yes. Yes. You're going to have to speak up when you're so far back. Could he get a lamb from his brother for some vegetables? Probably. Do you think that's the only thing he ever grew or raised was vegetables?
No, I just really wanted to help my dad.
Yeah. Except how do we know he didn't have the right heart?
Well,
He killed his brother. So we know he doesn't have the right heart, even if my conjecture is an error. If my conjecture of the fact that God gave them revealed truth and one obeyed and one disobeyed, if that's not true, I know Cain disobeyed. So I don't feel sorry for him. Yeah. In fact, I think he got quite a break by being given a mark so that anybody who killed Cain would receive punishment. When later on, Cain, in Noah's day, Cain should have been executed. Okay, I say Cain offered a sacrifice of his own works. God wants a blood sacrifice.
Isn't that the point of Hebrews? Without shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Right. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Exactly. So I am convinced that God fully explained to Cain and Abel that he wanted an animal blood sacrifice as a type of Christ for an atonement of their sins. And Cain did not do what he was asked. He thought he could offer what he grew. And Abel did. Many people disagree with that because they say in the law there were such things as meal offerings where bread was offered as an offering, grain was offered as an offering. But I could be wrong, just like I've been before. So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think a meal offering was ever offered without an animal sacrifice. It was something added alongside, like a wine offering and a grain offering were added in addition to the animal sacrifice. Okay, burner number three, where does sin begin? In the heart. How is this demonstrated in the life of Eve and the life of Cain? What?
Eve doubted God's word.
Eve obviously didn't think God meant what he said, or what he said was unfair. So she begins to think over things contrary to God's word. And the same thing with Cain. Both seriously considered why their sin would be acceptable. Didn't Eve go through a logical process as to why eating the forbidden fruit was okay? Same thing with Cain. He went through a thought process that said it's okay to offer this sacrifice even though God said some other one. So they molded over in their mind and their heart, and they made a decision that was contrary to what God asked. Number four, how and where did Jesus say murder begins? Jonathan.
When you hate.
When you're angry. Where? In your heart. He said, in the heart, one gets angry first. There is a hatred and an anger in the heart first. How did Cain demonstrate this? Cain became angry and then killed his brother. He did exactly what Jesus said was the path to murder. You get angry first, and then you kill. And it's just as sinful in the eyes of God to be angry with your brother because you've already killed him in your heart. Burner number five, what effect did Adam's sin have on you personally? He made us all sinners. He was the guy we sent to bat. He was the guy we put in the boxing ring. He was our representative.
We all died.
We all died when he died. We all cheered for him. Go, Adam, go. And he lost. And when he lost, we all lost. When he died, we all died. Does anybody know where you can find that in the Bible?
Romans 5.
through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Anybody know where else you can find it? 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul's talking about the resurrection. As through one man death entered the world, so through one man also came the resurrection. Handel put that to music. 1 Corinthians 15. So, Adam has an effect on you in that you are born spiritually dead with the reality that it is appointed for you to die physically, just as we sang tonight. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Through Adam, we all died. Where is it found? In Romans 5, the second half of the chapter. In 1 Corinthians 15, somewhere in the middle of that chapter.
Mr. McCauley, also in Genesis 5:3, it said that he had a son in his own likeness.
Yes. That expression, most people I've read and heard say that his own likeness is a dead in sin likeness. There are some people who say that it's still the likeness of God. I don't know. I seem to lean more toward the likeness of being dead in sin because that's sort of the point. Cain and Abel had been born. No. No, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it have been? To have sinless children. Well, I guess Mary and Joseph experienced that. To have a sinless child. Okay, lesson number 5. We're going to get there. That's in the lesson. That's why I skipped it. Lesson number 5. 4 major events of Genesis 1 through 11 are? Emily. Creation. Curse. The flood. And the Tower of Babel. Then we have 4 main people in 12 through 50. They are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or Israel, and Joseph. Covenant promises made to Abraham, passed down through Isaac, passed down through Jacob, passed to all of Jacob's sons, but the one that's emphasized is Jacob's oldest son by his legitimate wife, Rachel, Joseph. The other sons of Israel received the promise of the covenant, but they were born of handmaids and his actual first wife, but should have been his second wife because of his wonderful uncle Laban. Okay, Genesis 3 is the fall of man and the curse. I think in your homework you were asked to look at 1 John 2:15 through 17. What is the sin that, or what was the temptation that Satan used against Eve that he also used against Jesus Christ that John mentions in his first letter? It is what? The... okay, that's the last one. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. That's the big three that Satan uses to get people to fall. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, how was Eve tempted in the lust of the flesh? What does it say?
It was
She said that Satan convinced her that the apple was good for food. How was Jesus tempted in the lust of the flesh? Turn the stones into bread. The lust of the eyes. How was Eve tempted by the lust of the eyes? It was pleasing to look at. It was a delight to the eyes. How was Jesus tempted through the lust of the eyes? Nathan. Look down upon all these kingdoms. He showed him these beautiful kingdoms. And Jesus could have the rule over the kingdoms. So he saw the kingdoms. Satan took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms, and it was beautiful to behold. The pride of life. In Genesis, how was Eve tempted in the pride of life?
You'll be like God.
You'll be like God, and it will make you wise. It'll make one wise. So wise, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, I think it would have been better if we just knew good. And how was Jesus tempted in the pride of life? Nathan? Throw himself down and the angels will catch you, because it's prophesied that this Messiah will, the angels will protect him so that he won't even stub his toe. So you can throw yourself down off the temple and the angels will catch you, because it's promised you won't get hurt in any way. The consequences. The man and the woman. What was one of the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve? Nathan? They would have to work for food, but that was after the judgments were pronounced. What happened to them immediately? What, Crystal? Were you, or Valerie? They were ashamed. Mm-hmm. Go back. There's no B. They were ashamed. I just left that completely off the PowerPoint. And what did the man and the woman do?
They hid
from God. That's the first thing that happens when you are aware of your sin, or even unaware of your sin. That's the first thing sin does to you, is it precipitates your desire to hide from God. You want nothing to do with God. That's the idea of total depravity, or being born spiritually dead. You want nothing to do with God. So how can somebody who wants nothing to do with God come to God? Did Adam and Eve want to come to God? No. What happened? God had to provide a blood sacrifice. He had to come after them. Who went searching for whom? God went searching for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were not searching for God. And, letter B, as someone said, they were ashamed and they made clothing for themselves. And then the curse, first of all, was upon whom? The serpent. And what was the curse upon the serpent? He was going to be made lower than the other animals. In fact, he was going to lose his legs. He was going to slither from now on and be the lowest of the animals. Letter B, the curse upon whom? The second one who received a curse was the woman. And the curse upon the woman was pain in childbearing.
And her desire will be for her husband.
and family disunity, family squabbles. Instead of a nice, pleasant home, there will be a vying for who has the authority. In letter C, upon
Adam,
the man. And what was the curse upon Adam? Toil. Have to work hard now. Sweat of his brow, he'll bring forth food. What else?
He would die.
From dust he was made, and to dust he would return. So he would die. And in the midst of this, there was a promise that was made. I don't know where you put this in your notes, but what was the promise that was made? That what? That a descendant of Eve, or she's not Eve yet, a descendant of the woman would crush the serpent's head, bruising his heel as he does so. What is known in theological circles as the proto-evangel, the proto-evangel, the first gospel. That the work of Satan would be crushed by a descendant of a woman. So here we come to that brain burner, Adam's faith. What did he name his wife? Eve. Now her name is Eve. All she was before the curse was the woman. Now we say, why did Adam get a name and the woman not? Well, Adam didn't get a name. The name for Adam is Ish, man or Adam. And the name for woman is Isha. So they're called Ish and Isha in Hebrew. Man and woman, that's all they're called. Now Adam names his wife. And he names his wife Eve, which means what? What?
Mother of all.
Okay, mother of all, but there's another important word that goes with that. Mother of all living. The mother of all living. Now, why would he name his wife the mother of all living or life? Because he believed the promise of God. Adam named his wife Eve, which means life, living, or the mother of all living. He believed the promises of God. Did we not say that that's a way that someone expresses their faith? Did he see the one who would crush the head of the serpent? Did he believe it would come from his wife? He believed what God said was true. And so he exercised faith by believing the promises of God. And then somebody's already made mention of this. The mercy of God. God made what for the man and the woman? Animal skins. Which means there had to be a sacrifice had to be made, or a substitute had to be made in the place of Adam and Eve. They deserved to die, but an animal took their place. Now it's asked. When God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, did God mean die physically or die spiritually? Or both? Yes. Did Adam think he would die physically if he ate the forbidden fruit, or the fruit of the forbidden tree? Did Adam understand he would die physically? He'd never seen death. So when God says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, did God explain that to him, or just leave him clueless?
He must not have believed it because he
So why did he hide? He's probably hiding from his penalty. I think Adam knew he was going to die. And I think God meant he was going to die. Otherwise, there would have been no need for God to make a sacrifice. Someone, something has to die. And God killed an animal in the place of Adam and Eve as a picture of all the sacrifices that would come, portraying the sacrifice of Christ. Someone has to pay the penalty, even if it's an animal. Okay, Genesis 4 is about what? Cain and Abel. Letter A. Why was Abel and his sacrifice acceptable? Nathan. It was perfect and what?
It was
flesh and blood. Flesh and blood? Okay, and it was a blood sacrifice. It was an animal. And I believe that's what God asked him to offer. So it was an offering of faith and obedience because God wanted a blood sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, let's look that up. You may be familiar with that verse since I think it was on your homework. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." So by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. He trusted God. God must have told him what he wanted, or I don't know how you exercise faith in a vacuum. That's why when people say step out in blind faith, that's not faith. Faith is a trusting in what God has said. There may be a part of it that's somewhat blind and that you haven't seen it happen yet. But blind faith in a vacuum is never what God has asked anyone. God has asked you to believe what he says. And I believe Abel did that. Okay, some firsts in Genesis 4. Let's turn to Genesis 4 for your support enjoyment. Now, you may have found some things more than I did, but I found these things that are the first things that are mentioned in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 4:1, we have the first what? First birth, first baby. First child. In Genesis 4, chapter 2, we have the first sibling, brother. Of course, you could have said it looks like there's a tiller of the ground and a keeper of flocks as well. So the first herdsman and first farmer. Could have put that in there too. In verses 3 through 5, we have the first First offering, first sacrifice. Although that may not be entirely true because it's the first sacrifice offered by man. God offered his own sacrifice apparently in chapter 3. But this looks like the first sacrifice in done by man.
Wouldn't you say that it's the first offering and that when God killed the animals, that was the first sacrifice? Because how can God offer something to himself?
I don't know. But God offered his own son. So I have a hard time wrapping my brain around things like that. Okay, 6 through 9, what do we have?
Murder.
The first murder. Pronounced moita. First murder. Okay. In verses 10 through 15, we have the first. Okay, it may be the first punishment, but again, that may be incorrect because God's already pronounced a curse against the serpent, man, and the woman. But I thought about that. This sounds like the first punishment. What did I put? The first complaint against God's judgment. Cain doesn't like what he's... God judged him. God gave him a punishment, and Cain doesn't like it. So that was my first thought. It was God's. It was the first judgment or the first sentence on somebody. But then I thought about Genesis 3 again, and more like this is the first complaint. Okay, verse 16, what do we have?
First exile.
Okay, first exile. That's more in the previous verses when Cain was exiled. That's true. That's back in chapter 3 in verse 24. They were exiled out of the Garden of Eden.
I think you're going for, like, they became nomads or travelers, or they went somewhere.
That may be more in the previous section, too. I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm going to see what I put down. That's what I thought I put down. First city. What was built?
Nod.
Up to this time, I haven't seen a city. Now, I'm shown to be wrong oftentimes. Have you seen a city up to this time?
Do we know that's a city?
Well, it says he settled in the land of Nod.
He built a city.
Yeah. It says later he... where does it say he built a city?
17.
Oh, verse 17. He built the city. So maybe that should be 16 and 17. Okay, verse 20. Let's go to verse 19 then. Polygamy, first bigamy. That's big of you and that's big of me. I had an uncle who committed bigamy. Okay, verse... just quoting a verse from a movie as my students are so wont to do. Verse 20, what do we have? That's what I have. Nomadic herdsmen. They had tents and flocks. So they're moving around, keeping their flocks. What do we have in verse 21?
Musicians,
musical instruments. What do we have in verse 22?
Metalworking.
And what do we have in verse 26? Okay, a revival. That's good. I just put what it said there. Men began to call upon the Lord. That's the first time you see that men began to call upon the Lord. Although you would think that Abel did, but it says right here, then men began to call upon the Lord. And I don't think I did Roman numeral 4, which should be Roman numeral 5 on the PowerPoint. Before we go to chapter 5, though, I want us to look at... verse 23 of chapter 4. And Lamech, now what has Lamech already done? Committed bigamy. So how much is he concerned about God's standards? Not much. So he says to his two wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. So he got injured. And his response was to kill him. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth does not demand death for wounds. So this man, Lamech, is going way beyond it. And so he says, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. People better leave me alone. Because if Cain got mercy for killing a man who did nothing wrong, then I should be protected for killing a man who hurt me. This guy is about as arrogant and defiant as it gets. Yes.
He commemorates it in a song.
First song.
It's not a good song.
It's not a good song. We don't want to sing that in chapel. Yes, Valerie. Between all these folks?
First.
What?
All the first, like the first.
How much time?
Yeah, how much time in between each verse?
I don't know. My thought would be within 800 or 900 years.
It has to be within the lifespan of Adam.
That's what I would think. That's why I said 800 or 900 years, because that's how long Adam lived. Chapter 5 says he lived 930 years. And I'll have a handout for chapter 5 next week that shows the overlapping of when these people lived, if there aren't any gaps. And I don't know why people think there are possible gaps in chapter 5. I've thought about it and read the people and listened to their arguments, and I don't get it. But, I mean, it says he was so old when he had a son, and he called his son this. How could that be his grandson or his great-great-grandson? You don't have a great-great-grandson when you're so old. I don't get it, but we'll talk about that later. But I want you to think about this man, Lamech, and his defiance of God's standards, and the fact that he has committed bigamy and murder. And I want you to think about him as a possible example for what is being talked about in Genesis chapter 6. When the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Is that what Lamech did? Was Lamech sort of this son of God kind of person? This ruler, king, I'll do whatever I want kind of person? And did he take whomever he wanted to be his wife? Now, what do you think that is going to breed as far as children? Probably the most wicked society ever to exist on the planet. Maybe that's what's happening in chapter 6. That these people who were called sons of God, and remember that expression, sons of God, can refer to earthly rulers. That these earthly rulers who took it upon themselves to lift themselves up to high positions and defiant positions, took for themselves women, whomever they wanted, exercised this dominating control and this defiance of God, and taught their children to do the same, that in the end it would be verse 5, saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You start with a man who takes two wives. What do you think his children are going to do? 3, 4, 5, right? You take a man who thinks that because Cain is avenged 70-fold, he's avenged 77-fold. What do you think his sons are going to think? They have no judgment pronounced against them at all, and they're free to do whatever they want. And as this trickles down, maybe that's what it's talking about. Also in chapter 6, the Nephilim. Anybody know what the Nephilim means? Okay, it can mean giants, but I think it means to fall upon. Now, do giants fall upon their enemies? Yes. Goliath fell upon many enemies and destroyed them. But do you have to be a giant to fall upon your enemies and destroy them? So the Nephilim may be these people who were the sons of God, who were exalting themselves beyond what is proper, and falling upon their enemies and destroying them, saying, if Cain is avenged 70-fold, I'm avenged 77-fold. I'm going to take whoever I want to be my wife, and we're going to raise children who will cause the society to be the most wicked the world has ever seen, and God will have enough of it. Maybe that's what it's talking about. And maybe it's not angels cohabiting with men after all. Because I have a real hard time with that interpretation personally. Always did. So just think about it. It's 7 o'clock. We can do Genesis chapter 5 next week. It's short and I don't have any overheads. Our next meeting is next week on Sunday, September 6th. And so that's when homework assignment number 4 is due. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Valerie, did you get most of your questions asked, if not answered? Nathan. Okay, just put it on the chair next to you and I'll pick it up and put it with the others.
I guess that's one question on the subject of the temptation.
Right.
But then you make a conscious decision. But there's
right.
this process, and God provides a way of escape for us if we will look for it. So we haven't crossed the line yet when you've been tempted.
Right.
We haven't committed the sin. But when they make the conscious decision to do it,
right.
then they sin. So temptation itself is not a sin.
I would agree with you totally, because Jesus was tempted. And he didn't sin. But I think you can sin without committing the act. Because you can be angry in your heart against your brother without murdering him, but Jesus says that's tantamount to murder. So I think there's in this progression you speak of, there's a point where you cross over the line in your mind and heart, and you have sinned. Even before it's outward. Such as the Pharisees, what sin could you have?